Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Said hallelujah. So this week and next week and the week after, we're going to look at keeping the fire burning. Amen. Hallelujah. The way to keep the fire burning. Amen. Because if you don't keep the fire burning, it will not burn. And we need to stop living lives that we are always waiting for another special meeting. Now, special meetings are always good special meetings, but special meetings, yeah, they play a restorative role, no doubt. But what about having a role of getting more depths? That is, we're just getting more depths and increasing in, you know, the move of the Holy Ghost and the things we're doing. Rather than say, well, my prayer life was gone until Believer's Convention. What about, I just got greater burdens to pray about? You know, and the way that can happen is when we know how to keep the fire burning. And I'm going to read something to us later on. Romans 1:11. And it says, for I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Impart to you some spiritual gift. Why would I need to be imparted? Because I'm always needing more. I am always needing more. And that's something we have to realize. I'm always needing more as a child of God, as a minister of the gospel, I'm always needing more. I'm going to share some with you closely, I'll say quickly now. And, I'm always needing more. I always will want more. And God wants me to always be filled. So, I'll always need more. Now, you know, we looked at the word impartation during the Believer's Convention. I shared with you that it's used in some places, Luke 3:11, for example. It means to share, okay? And when it says some spiritual gifts, Paul is saying that if we all have gifts, okay, which means we share them, okay? The ministry gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, we share them. We make them available for other believers. We said we are deficient by default, right? Only sufficient by association. Always don't forget that. Never forget that. So, and we looked at that. We looked at the different use of that word in part. Ephesians 4:28, where Paul says, let him that stole steal no more, let him walk so the hands of which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. And Romans 12:8, he that give his simplicity. But then the very final is, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. It says, and being affectionately desire of you, notice the word desire, and for every leader, you know, notice the person I desire, same thing as John, you must never get to the point where you think the people of God are a stress, a burden to you. You must love to see them, okay? You must love to share the word with them. You must love to pray for them. The desire of God's people must never leave your heart. So Paul says, we're affectionate. Look at this one now. He says, being affectionate, desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, said, but our own souls. Because you were dear to us. Say, God's people, they are dear to me. Say it again. God's people, they are dear to me. All right, so that's about the impartation. We'll continue on that now. But then, notice something. We've been at the the Believer's Convention, and we've gotten stared, got too many testimonies of people, not from this church alone, everywhere, you know. But, you see, God wants us to keep it. And that's what I shared with you Sunday morning, right? Keep by the Holy Ghost. So Paul said, Timothy, keep by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to share a story. And that story is just today. And I will conceal the identity as much as I can. Now, this fellow watched the Believers' Convention and reminded me that we had had a conversation years ago. So I want you to listen to this very well. It's going to be important that you pay attention to it. And he says, sir, thank you for Believers' Convention and all that. And he says, you mentioned some things have died in some people's ministry. He's a pastor. I'm one of them. For me, the supernatural is gone. I prayed and fasted. Nothing seems to change. So I greeted him, how are you? So he said, hello, then call. Then he said, I don't know if you remember me. And he went on. So I said, oh, I can't remember. So he said, how does one walk in the supernatural? How does one balance, one's balance doesn't involve in all that? So when, so I said, and I asked a question, have you walked in this before? He said, yes. The gifts of healings, the word of knowledge and all of that. It seems that the boundaries of sowing and reaping and put me off. It means some things got him upset. And this year I've been fasting and praying 2-3 hours in tongues, even more every day. But I haven't seen the result like before. Now look at the question I asked him. I said, have you looked back at any traits of dishonor you have had for the same things? He said, of course, he's not in Nigeria. So he said, yeah. He said, yeah. I took note of that. I said, they are important things. You know they are important? They are important. So I said, maybe what you read or said. He said, yes, I have disregarded things many times. And for years, I used to watch a lot of church criticisms. So I said, that is the source. I never knew the impact of this until after COVID-19, if I put the mask there. And when we got back to church, so I said, you need a lot of restitution and repentance. Okay, so I will. I said, and severing many relationships which led to this and sources. So he talked about honor. I will just put that away and talk about honor for people who preach what he doesn't agree with. I said, respect people for other things apart from what you don't agree with and show it without necessarily endorsing what you perceive as wrong. He said, I'll make amends. I said, please do and do it quickly. Now, this is the key point in all this conversation. He now said to me, he said, I pastor a church and right in the conversation, he said, my general overseer is very wicked. Then he said to me that this counsel I gave him, I remembered 4 years ago. I asked the same questions and he told me to stay focused and do my job. Hallelujah. Now, I shared that story because that's the truth. You see, if you don't learn things by exposure, you learn it by experience. And I hate to learn things by experience if I could just learn it through instruction. Are you here? So, to keep the fire, it's a responsibility to keep the fire of God's Spirit. It's not good enough to just talk about how great you are at the convention. What did you do afterwards? You have a duty to keep things going. And I learned this years back when I remember it was 1992. I shared that at convention. I've said it many years. And we watched a man called Dr. Miles Monroe. We listened to the teaching actually. My friend TJ gave us a tape. So we listened to 1992 as a conference or something. And he said that God doesn't call a meeting to give you a good time. I never heard that before. He said, you must have a mandate that you're taking with you. So I made up my mind for two things, that I will write down what I'll be doing after every convention. That is, this is what I will be doing. Even the ones I'm preaching, okay? So this is what I'm doing. Because if you don't break it down, okay, into an everyday activity, you can't keep the fire. So I also said that every time I go to preach, if you observe that, those of you who follow me anywhere, you know, I always have a last session where I'll sum up the meeting to say, now this is what you are going to do after this. God, right, always gives us what to do. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who gives talents. That's what it is. It gives you what to do. After the believers' convention, what are you doing in your church? What are you doing in your fellowship? After the conference, what are you doing in the local assembly? So there must be something you're doing. To keep the fire requires activity. There must be something you are doing immediately about it. Notice that everyone that God called to do something in scripture, they immediately went to do something. That's something we have to do immediately. Immediately. If you're a fellowship pastor, a VCO coordinator, a church pastor, something you have to do immediately. You know, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, same book. Are you in church? And verse 19. Quench not the spirit. Look at the two words now. Quench not. Then it says despise not. Okay, look at that. Quench not. Despise not. Two important things. Because our lives is a function of instruction. God called Israel out of Egypt. That's, they had to do nothing but believe. But when he called them out, to now begin to walk in God's plan, they must obey instructions. And so you have it there. It says, quench not the spirit. Some versions say, put not the spirit's fire out. Don't put out the spirit's fire. Now, if the Bible says quench not, that means you can. And that's what this brother, this pastor just did. It won't come with the tag of you are quenching it. No, it'll just come by things you read, things you say, things you hear, things you, and that's all. Quench not the spirit. Despise not. Despise not. So, quench not. Despise not. And Paul writes to the church in Corinth, consistently. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. It's not just good enough to covet it. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. To desire it. 1 Corinthians 14, 39. It says, forbid not to speak with tongues, desire. So, if you hear anything that makes you to stop speaking in tongues. It could just be a correction. You know what? I just always speaking in tongues. About speaking in tongues. It looks like it's a good counsel. Sometimes just use your brain. You know, but Paul says, do not forbid it. So, you need to know what you're listening to. Praise the Lord. Forbid not. So you mustn't stop it. Now, you can control it, like Paul instructed the church in Corinth, but he never said stop it. Forbid not to speak with tongues, of course, in the assembly there. And he says to covet to prophesy. Those are instructions you will have to carry out yourself. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Covet to prophesy. Clear cut instructions from God's word to the believer. Are you there? Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. We studied that we are God's priests, right? Right? In his holy place. Leviticus chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Somewhere open to numbers. You there now? And the fire, it says, upon the altar shall be burning on it. It shall not be put out. Now how? It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn the wood on it every morning. So it's a responsibility of the priest to ensure that the fire is not out. It shall not be put out. Are you there? Look at verse 9. Is the law of the burnt offering? Is the burnt offering? Because the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. So the priest has that responsibility. It's your duty. Don't say, oh God, keep the fire. Thank God he'll do that. But you need to follow instructions to keep it up. And what did Paul say? Despise not. You despise what is losing value. It's not getting, it has no value like before. Value. So to keep the fire burning, I need to increase my value on the things of God. I told you, you don't change what works. You don't change what works, right? Right? Your value for them must remain the same and increase. And increase. Praise the Lord. Despise not. Quench not. Despise not. What do you despise? You know, think just, you know, when someone is talking, please let's keep talking. You know that kind of thing. Just, maybe there's a brother who is giving a prophecy. They're looking at the wristwatch. We're trying to check something. That's to despise it. It looks like, it's not a big action. It's just something you do or you did. Just despise it. You know? That's not what we're talking about here. People just assume. And you have to be careful. And I told you, never subscribe to those who mock spiritual things. A guy told me, he said, I found out that I'm no longer a friend of Facebook. I said, I noticed that the only thing you speak about is the churches. He said, ah, no, I'm just speaking the truth. I said, I don't want that truth. He said, but you see, this is what we are saying. This is what we are saying. I said, not you and I. I don't want that truth. You keep that truth somewhere. Say to those who like to hear it. Say, despise not, quench not, despise not, quench not, desire, despise not, quench not. So there is a do not. Don't despise it. Like the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking. The Bible has the New Testament, Old Testament, they contain do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts is not legalism. If someone says, make sure that, for example, if you go near a pool, I went to the guest house, I think we stayed in Lusaka, and they put it there at the poolside. There are no lifeguards. If you don't know how to swim, stay away. Is that what it's there? No, that is not legalism. That's to save you. You say, no, I don't believe in do's and don'ts. I don't believe in do's and don'ts. Well, there will be do's and don'ts for you. Don't breathe. So, that's not legalism. Right? That's a legalism. And sometimes I told you, some things you don't have the capacity. I went to someone's house and then, I stayed up at the first floor. So as I was coming down, they had barricaded the staircase. I said, how was it? He said, oh. So I was wondering why they barricaded the staircase. I felt, Now, naturally, I could jump over it. But that would be too Nigerian. You know, to jump over. So I said, what's this for? It's, oh. They mentioned their little baby. Oh, I said, oh. Now, look at what I said. I could afford to even jump over it. Right? And even I could afford to, you know, use the stairs. I really nothing. But the baby can't afford it. They'll say, no, don't restrict babies. No. Huh? Do you have a different life? Somebody was coming on my wall today and said, this experience you are talking about in the ministry, is it really necessary? Is experience not just knowing the message? It's just one cell group that will change your identity. One half a cell group. Half. I will give you just one new convert. All you will do is ensure the new convert is in church on Sunday. That's all I'll give you. If I don't get any free with the Holy Ghost yet, you will change your ideology. You know, people just, you know. So the do's and don'ts are meant to protect you. They're meant to protect you. Do not put, cookie say, don't put more than this sauce. Say, no, we are the salt of the earth. You must be mad. Right? So that's not legalism. That's protecting you. When God told Adam and Eve, every tree should but this one, the day you die, that is not legalism. That's simply protecting them. Some things that is just because, look, you don't have the capacity yet. You can't even hear it. I told you the story of my great godfather, a very influential Nigerian then, it's late now. When he told me to go and read some books, ha. And I said, even my Bible is unread. I will not be meditating upon this one day and night. I'll make my way mysterious. I said, no. I had enough sense not to read what he said. But funny enough, everything he told me to read then, I now know them. In fact, in a particular Bible school I taught years back, I did talk about those religions. But from a position of a deep-seated, rock-solid conviction. So if you had gone to handle them ahead of time, you just discover that you're just, you know, just lose your favor. So he said, despise not. Quench not. Despise not. Quench not. So you must know, after Believer's Convention and this service, what are the nots? Do not do. Is that very clear? If you don't have that in your plan is bound to fail. Is that clear? You know, I remember Pastor Christopher Akilome used to say this in those days. He said, when you have a special meeting, he said, there are things you are going to naturally do away with. He said, there are people you won't talk with like before. That's the truth. And I agree with that. So, look at that. So you have despise not, quench not. Now, what makes me despise things is pure carnality. Being of the flesh. And I mentioned that to us. That when Israel were in Egypt, watch this now. There were a lot of signs and miracles that God did. I'm going to go read two texts together. There were a lot of signs and wonders and miracles that God did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says that, no, you won't be ignorant that all our fathers passed through the sea, baptized in the sea and in the cloud, into Moses. He said, and they all, Paul, they all drank of the spiritual drink. They all ate of the spiritual meat. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2 and 3. He said they ate, they all had the experience. Hebrews 3, 6 and 7 says that God said, I proved you and I showed you my works for 40 years. And I told you that they became weary. You know when you're just, so, I mean, the first time they saw manna, they go, oh, manna! after a while, they were just not, there was no big deal to it again, because that happened again and again and again and again. And so, like we say it's in the economics, that they now have what you call the law of diminishing returns. Holy Ghost will say, great things, great stuff. Give it some, right? A guy's lost the football. There's a guy like that. We're having this meeting, Word on the Mission, 1998, about July. And myself and my friends were doing that together. I wasn't preaching, but I was the one who organized it. So, as soon as we, now someone taught, I think TJ taught first, and he taught. As soon as he taught, then he said, we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. This guy just got up and left. And the thing is, I'd known that he was someone given to the things of the Spirit before then. He just got up and left. He was a pastor. Just got up and started walking away. So, because I was at the back, myself and Pastor Dokun, who is now one of the leaders in Remnant Nigeria, we just walked to him. We just walked to the back and said, ah. So I said, MOG, what's happening? He said, nothing, just feel like leaving. I said, but is the Holy Ghost meeting? He said, just like concerning spirituals. That's how he said it's concerning spirituals. I know all these things. That's how he said it. Ah. You know, such arrogance. And then my friend just gave him a word of knowledge about a sickness he had had since a child. And he said, oh. I said, no, I first said to him, before he did that, I said, oh, you are leaving because you know it. I said, the Holy Ghost is probably staying because he doesn't know it. So as I was saying that, he was still looking at me, my friend just gave him a word of knowledge. So he was stunned. She got this and then I said, yeah. I said, and you were walking away. Doing shaka. He sat there. He came for every other session. Because he got healed. You see, people like that, they've sinned before. So Israel was like that. And they began to, they had seen the power of God. He parted the Sea of Reeds. They saw all the plagues in Egypt. Enough signs and wonders. They had seen it, you know, it was like God was just giving them every day. And then they got to a point, they said, miracles, signs and wonders, power of God, utterances, seeing angel. At some point, they preferred onions to the move of God. Seriously. They said, we'll go back to Egypt, give us, we are missing onions. They said onions. Garlic. You know that? Onions, the power of God. Now so, when you get to carnal levels, your comparison will be unimaginable. After a while, they even wanted other gods. You know, it didn't take them long before they said, another god brought them out of Egypt. That's because they had seen it again and again. Yet there was a woman called Rahab who said, we have heard. She hadn't seen it. We have heard of what Yahweh had done in Egypt. And we are believers of it. That's what she said. Meanwhile, someone in that same nation, what are the things that Paul now warns us about? In verse 5, Paul says, they serve as an example unto us that we should not follow that same manner of unbelief. With many of them, God was not pleased. It's an example. An example. You have to look at the example. It's there. And then what did Paul say about them? So, to keep the fire of the Spirit, I have responsibilities. I have responsibilities. You know some guys, immediately after Sunday, they just go and fix an appointment to see some friends. They fix this one. And you know, they just say, wow, I was so blessed, Pastor. I was so blessed. Ah, man, what a meeting, sir. What a meeting. Heaven and earth met. Even hell joined. They say, okay, we'll see you on Wednesday. Ah, really? I wish I planned it, sir. I'm telling you, sir. I wish I did. But, I'm still looking at it. But if I don't, no problem. You seniors. How would you say you were so blessed and the first effect is missed church? How?
You know, on the Monday or the Tuesday, okay, let's go out for a prayer group meeting. Hey, has it started like that? Yes, it has. Immediately. Hey. I thought they would give us one. Who are the big? Maybe somebody that came to the meeting with you called you and said, it's someone you look after the Lord. You decide to say, hey, Brother Seku, can I say, wait now. I said, maybe we saw for 3 days. 3 whole days, about 4. You're okay, don't worry, just calm down. Just keep the fire, eh? That's what we do. And you know, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said that Satan came immediately. They always know, you see, Peter says we have an adversary, the devil, who what? Walks around like a roaring lion. He's always moving, seeking whom he might devour. That's what he always does. Seeking the person he's going to devour. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. You in church? Kapoor. So with many of them, I'm reading verse 5, God was not well pleased and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples, as verse 6, I shared verse 5 the other time. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as it does happen. So, which means that what I should walk at is my desire. Satan will love to plant a new desire in you. Some people foolishly will argue with a brother on Sunday. I told you now. I told you. You know, I told you. They could even argue that it's not a red card. It's a red card. My people. I saw that game, I said, win this one now. I know the cause of the fall is on you, but at least. Selah. These are the idolaters. As somewhere written, the people sat down to play, to eat and drink, and those of them, they're looking for something else to follow. Or fornication, like he said. Some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. He just got into the flesh. Into the flesh. Look at the next one. They have tempted Christ. And some of them tempted and were driven to suffer. Then he says in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured. So the Lord. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they were written for admonition upon the hands of all that come. Therefore, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand. Done what? Lest he fall. So you need to take heed. Take heed. Taking heed is not legalism. It's not fair. It's caution. Caution is not fair. This must be fair and caution. 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 Hallelujah. So what they do? They were murmuring. And in every instance, they disobeyed Moses. In every instance. God's given you leadership. I told someone the other day, well, not this meeting, another meeting, I said, not our own church anyway, I said, you said you were very blessed. He said, yes, sir. At the conference, yes. Did you organize it? He said, no. Did you know about it? He said, no. Did God tell you about it? He said, no. So who did God talk to? He said, my pastor. Very well. Who organized it? My pastor. Okay, you believe your pastor prayed for it? He said, yep. You believe that your pastor got the right things there? Yeah. Your pastor called me and I'm going to speak there. He said, yeah. Very well. So who should you listen to after the meeting? He said, oh, I guess my pastor. Don't guess. You didn't guess every other answer you gave me. I said, who conceived the meeting? Said my pastor. Who picked the dates? My pastor. Who organized it? My pastor. Who did what? My pastor. So now that the meeting is over, who should you listen to? How did you get blessed? Because you listened to your pastor and you came on that day. Why didn't you follow the Holy Ghost? We finished the meeting on Sunday. You said, no, the Holy Ghost has to show up on Monday. The Holy Ghost agreed with your pastor. So, for you to be blessed. I said, yeah. So why didn't you then listen to what your pastor said afterwards? And he said, I see what you are saying. You have to see it. Because you can't change what works. See, so what did your pastor ask you to do? He said, we have an outreach. That is still the same Holy Ghost telling you to go for the outreach. He said, but I just felt that, you know, I should have a retreat. I said, that's not the Holy Ghost talking to you. That can't be the Holy Ghost talking to you. He said, yeah, I thought so. I said, imagine if everybody went for that retreat or personal retreat. They all felt that for 1 week they should not go to church and have a retreat. There is no services. The pastor shows up or he also goes for the retreat. Say, that would be very bad. I said, you got the point. You can't step from the Holy Ghost to disorder. There's a supernatural order. Now I'm going to say this one. For, to the glory of God, I've been around for a few days when it comes to the word, what churches, what people. Not long after I got born again and I got into ministry, it didn't take me long to get around what people. I mean, what people began to talk about redemption, who you are in Christ, new creation, realities, flowing with the Holy Ghost with the help of Brother Hagin, and particularly Brother Tokes. Now I know something, like the back of my hand, that a major reason why many of those what churches don't make much progress and impact is lack of order. Don't just say I'm led by the Spirit to go for a retreat. No, you can't. Maybe if your pastor said, guys, God's telling us to go for what you ought to do is to get back to your department and be more effective, right? Get back to your fellowship, be more effective. The effect of a meeting is that you are now more submissive, more committed. Is that clear? Showing more favor to the things you were doing before. Are you in church? So these guys, everything they did here was to look down on the authority of Moses. That is why Paul said they were baptized into Moses. That's how we started. And why did he say all that? Because the church in Corinth, even though in 1 Corinthians 1:7, Paul says they were not behind in any gift. But what's going on in the church? People were coming to the services unedified. And they had the gifts of the Spirit. What's going on in the church? Some were sick, some were dying. What's going on in the church? There's a move of the Holy Ghost. People were taking themselves to God. So much strife going on in that same place. So we have things to do. Things to do. One thing that the Holy Ghost does for us is that he deepens our love for people. Are you here? The effect of believers' convention in your life is that you love more. You know what I mean? More is not your girl or your brother. Say more, that's your name, more. Say, I love more. I love the church more. I serve more. You gotta watch it. You have to love more. We submit in love. We pray in love. We give in love. We serve in love. Are you here? So how do you keep the fire? You keep the fire by listening to instructions. Instructions will have things that you should do and things that you should not do. That is why I read to you that brother's chart. You don't know him anyway. But look at how many years. I read to you how many years he spoke with me at first. 4. Now, because he didn't listen to me the first time, then the COVID crisis came, then it had the effect because he didn't listen. So 4 good years
I've gone. And I hope he's listening, because what he just said about the pastor is quite instructive. 4 good years. It was, see, lack of listening to God and his spirit will take years from you. Years. And there are people that have wasted time. They will now see new converts. New converts. I was sharing a story with the pastors. I can't say it publicly. And that was it on Saturday night? Saturday night? That I shared something with them. And I hope they got my point. That's 20 years, right? That should be 20. Right? 20 years. It was that same night that I got the story I gave them. I said, this same night? Exactly what I was saying in the auditorium. Something came as a witness of that night. 20 years. 20. Israel was 40 years. Right? Did God depart from them? No. Were they wasting time? Yeah. So you can have the presence of God, the glory of God, and not be fruitful. And waste time. 20. I got no lost years. In the name of Jesus. Are you here? Make up my mind. I'm not going to lose anything. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing is weak in my hands. Some may be alive and weak, but nothing is weak in my hands. In the name of Jesus. Things are getting stronger in my hands. So you keep the fire. Don't waste time. Is that clear? Yes, sir. Then we said there are seasons, right? Yes, sir. How can someone be planting when he's supposed to be reaping? Wasted the time. Now, so there's no one who ever told God, God, you know what? I need to sort out something. I need to sort out this one. I need to get rid of this one. I need to do some of my business. Let me face my career first. Let me face this one first. Let me try and sort this out financially. Let me sort out marriage. Let me take care. And by the time, it never, ever, it's lost, gone. I told you, revelation puts you on the course. It's consecration that keeps you there. Hallelujah. And sometimes we even mock people who sacrifice. Never mock people who sacrifice. It's the greatest disservice you can do to yourself. Never mock people who sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor. Do you hear me? He's not unrighteous. He's not unrighteous to forget the labor. So even if people don't recognize what you have done, they don't recognize the kind of impact you've made in their lives, see, that shouldn't affect you. Because God is not forgetful. You hear what I'm saying? It's not. I know he's not. Hallelujah. I know he's not. I've had people that I've mentored and taught, and I raised them in the Lord, and they said, who is he? And those things can hurt. Big time. One of them moved from calling me pastor to my first name. I didn't say anything. I didn't say, stop it. I just started flowing. When they changed back the next week, I flowed again. When they went back, I kept flowing. He moved from my first name, started calling me brother, then said pastor, then said M-O-G, then said P-Shakes. I was fine. Anyone. Because the trap is for you to be offended. You get what I'm saying? That's the trap. To be offended. I said, no. I know that God is not unrighteous to forget my labor. One person told me, he said, there was no big deal in what you did. To my face. And there was no big deal. So the word of God is everywhere. Then I remember the night that I taught and I had to teach
The whole day, sometimes 4 hours. And I was sitting in a room. There was a night like that. I traveled to make the night session. Was it the night? Or the early morning session, sorry. I preached somewhere that I finished the meeting by 10. So I went on the road by 11. I didn't get a bus on time. I left by 12. So that I can make a 5 a.m. teaching 3 people. 3. I mean, I came from a meeting of hundreds of people. I now went on the road at night to talk to 3 people. You know what happened? By that morning, there was a brother who was with me. I think it was Patrick that was there, or maybe Brother Ojo, one of the two of them, was in that meeting. I thought about the relations of God. By the time I was done preaching, I threw up. And I threw up and said, I said, don't worry. I said, I'm just stressed. I've been preaching every day, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 hours. Now I've traveled by road at night. I've not slept 2 hours. I'm preaching again. Of course, I would throw up everything I ate. So I threw up and I went back to preach. The person now says, what's the big deal? You know, it can hurt, but don't be hurt. God is not unrighteous. Is that clear? To forget it. Your rewarder is God. Okay? So be focused on that. Okay? So don't get into offense. Keep the fire. Keep the fire of the Spirit by following the instructions. Don't just take prophecies. Follow the instructions. So I wrote 2 things that I'll continue next week. I said, 1, why do people not desire spiritual things? 1 is ignorance. 1 Corinthians 12:1, I will not have you ignorant. The second one is what I call the law of diminishing returns, where dishonor and despite sets in. You've seen it enough. We've seen those things. We've seen those things. Someone says, we were kind of taking camp. We've been there. Nonsense. That's rubbish. Don't talk like that. And so those are 2 things we're going to look at. Why is my desire waning? How can my desire wane? I'll simply give it to something else. In this instance, they began to use the energy for prayer to murmur, the energy for fellowship for fornication, the energy to praise God and give thanks to Him. They used it to tempt Christ. You have the same energy, you only converted it for something else. We must therefore learn to keep the fire. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is a season. A season where you need to be intense. And you can't have it all the time. So don't say, don't worry, I'll be fine. If it's ministry, don't worry, sir. You've taught me enough. Years later, I reminded the person, I know you've said this before. See, that's why you have a problem. You said years ago that I taught you enough, you would not be able to know beyond what you said. Why did you say that? You know, I've always told you what's come to pass. I've told you, right? What's come to pass, watch what you say. It is a thought of temper. Let it die there. Is that clear? Yes, why did you say that? See, you taught us enough. So I said, oh, I'll just do this. I said, I've heard you. God has no plan B, right? Stick to His plan. Is that clear? We'll keep the fire. So before you leave this service, I'm going to give you 1 minute. What instructions are you taking away from this service? Put it down. Now break it into what you are going to do tonight, tomorrow. I'll close here. What instructions do you have in your mind that you can say, I'm going to do it tonight, tomorrow, till Sunday? The fire of God's Spirit is not to warm you. It's for zeal. It's for activities. You know, there's fire where you are, okay, we're in Nigeria, sorry, where you're in school, where you now have, you know, the heaters, they put it on and say, it's so much cold outside, so let me just feel warm. Then most of the time when you feel warm like that, if you are living in Europe or America, you now sleep off. No, the fire of God's spirit is to burn you into activity. It's not to feel good. You burn into activity. There are things to avoid. There are things not to see again. There are things not to hear again. Like I told the brother here, I said, you have a lot of restitution to do. You have a lot of restitution to do. Restitution means go and do the right thing. That's all. A lot of restitution to do. I don't know why I want to share this story again. Years ago, we had this camp, and myself, Reverend Tokes also preached then. That should be 1994 or so, or five, one of the 2 years. And I couldn't preach. I must have shared this story before. So by the time I got to Ibadan, that day, I was coming from Kuru, but I got, it was this environmental sanitation, so I couldn't leave Lagos on time. So I had to stay at the express road like 7 a.m. By the time I got to Ibadan, it was already past 11. The meeting had held, and I was told that it was supposed to be four of us speaking, myself, Pastor Larry Amuson, Pastor Tunji Ogbele, Brother Tokes, and myself, speaking four of us. So they didn't allow the other ones to speak, they now allowed only Pastor Tokes to speak, so it was quite a controversial situation. Things happened there that weren't too good. And so, me and my friends, we went to UI that night and that afternoon, and we really didn't say good things. We didn't say good things. Not necessarily criminal things, but we said things that, well, we said, you know, what young guys could say of that time, and very foolishly. So, but I knew. You know, there's a way, like TJ was saying those days, said there's a way God will talk to you that even your physical body will react. I knew we had erred. I was just amiss ourselves, and I said to myself, no. But next morning, about 5 a.m., I went to the man of God's house. He didn't even know we had done anything. And I went there and I said, I'm really sorry. I didn't say we. Don't go and say we. Confess your problem alone. Don't confess people's sins for them. I said things I shouldn't have said. When? I didn't hear it. I said, no, you were not there. It was when we left. And I'm really sorry. And I shouldn't have said this. I said, no problem, you are young. I said, no, sir. There's a problem. You are praying for me. The future doesn't look good. If I maintain this heart, it may not be today, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, to come back. I said, okay. Then he prayed. Hallelujah. That's about 30 years ago. Don't know why I'm sharing it again. Because words come to pass. Is that clear? Fire of God's Spirit is born in our lives. We keep it burning. Amen. We stir up fire all the time. In the name of Jesus. Have you written something down? You sure about it? Stand to your feet and pray about it. Pray about it.